we're going to read some verses together from Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. First, we're going to read 1-3. If you are not there, you're still it for me. It means everybody is there. Praise the Lord. Some people are there on the screen. They're not there for the Bible. Praise the Lord. To hear the Bible. Let's read the scriptures. It's very important. So let's together read verses 1-3 together. 1-2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel. From each tribe of praise God. I want us to read together. Can we read together, everybody, please? Let's not murmur. Let's read it. So I want to go from this one again. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Verse 3. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. Let's quickly jump to verses 17-20. 17-20. So 1-2, let's go now. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people dwell in it are strong or weak, few are men. Okay, so let's stop in that. Let's jump to verse 25 quickly. We'll read verse 25 to the end. That's a bit a longer one from verse 25. So 1-2, let's go now. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the population of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Haran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children, verse 32 now. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. Here we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. May the Lord bless the reading of His word this morning. Let's quickly jump to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. We're going to read from verses 1-6. Psalms 23. I'll wait for you in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds so that we can read together. So I believe we are all there now. If you are not there, you can spy on the screen. Psalms 23 from verses 1. You want to go now? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning in the name of Jesus. So the restoration season is still on, and God has continued to do lots of things. There is a testimony that I got on Wednesday. Every week since the beginning of May, when God gave us his word, there has been an outstanding testimony for every week. Every week, I get calls every week, and I pray to God, even in our own scheme of things, we may move maybe away, maybe in next month or something. We are open to what God is doing, and we pray that he will continue to restore all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I got another one of that testimony, which I cannot share because I'm online. I can't share that testimony because I'm online right now. And so I'll just keep that. Maybe I'll share that testimony with us later. But in fact, as we're praying here on Friday, you know, even me, I didn't have that confidence to say that. But what I heard God say is that he's still going to do a groundbreaking thing. That's what he said. I heard him, but I was just like, okay. With all these things that you are doing already, it just is something, but I don't know. I release it to God. Let him do it in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray for yourself in just 10 seconds. Say, Lord, do a groundbreaking thing in my life. Why not pray for yourself? Please, pray for yourself. Tell God to do something that is groundbreaking in your life. Tell him to do it in your life. Tell God to do it in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. The book of Hebrews, quickly, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I think I'm going to read here by myself because I don't know if you can get the Amplified Classic Edition. If you can get that, I would like you to read from there. Hebrews chapter 4, from verses 1 to 3. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and he has come short of reaching it. God is never too late. I just want to tell you that God is never too late. He's never too late. He's never too late. I don't know who that is for this morning, but God is never too late. He's always just on time, right on time. Hallelujah. Verse 2. For indeed, we have had the glad tidings, that's the gospel, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. Because it was not mixed with faith. With the meaning of the entire personal, on the entire personality of God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, by those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with the ones, that is, those that preached the word to them and those that went, you know, to set out the land. Verse 3 now. For we who have believed, adhered to, have trusted in, and relied on God, do enter that rest in accordance with his declaration. That, and this is worrisome now, and this is where I'm, you know, putting the message this morning, the Papa Syndrome. Look at it. It says, in accordance with his declaration, that's talking about the declaration of God himself, that those who did not believe should not enter when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And he said, although his work has been completed, and prepared and waiting for all those who would believe from the foundation of the world. So this morning, I just want to quickly say something to you. When the word of God comes, you have a duty to play in it. You have a part to play in it. Now, faith is the key to withdrawing from the kingdom. Now, sometimes, word of God will come to you in such a way that you yourself will See, let me tell you something. If the word of God comes to you in a way that the very next person sitting beside you can do it, that's not a miracle. That's not a miracle. If you look to your right or to your left, and somebody around you can already give you that answer, you don't need God for that. That's why some of us that came from where we came from, you know, I came from God's own country. Hallelujah. It's God's own country that is yet to realize God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, in that place, we pray for anything and for everything. So that's why when people get to a place that is working, like where we are right now, they don't decide to let go of God. Because the things that they were praying for back where they came from can be readily answered without even knowing God. So, I'm telling you this morning, if there are things, or if you're hearing things that somebody beside you can already do for you, it's better you ask God, God, this is not you speaking. So, if it's asked to be God, then it must be something that only your faith can carry. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says that, for without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. And then we know that whoever must come to God must believe that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So faith is the major key for you to withdraw from the kingdom. So when a word is coming, sometimes you have a thought in your heart and it looks as if, I don't know, this is too heavy for me. You better claim it by faith, because maybe God is just speaking to you directly. If it's something that somebody can answer, then that cannot be God. My God is more than that. It's just like somebody needs $1,000 here. I'm not saying somebody should not need $1,000. That's not what I'm saying. If somebody should need $1,000 here, all of us here, have we not more than $1,000 here? Praise God. So I will not go to God for a miracle of $1,000. Praise God. I won't go to God for a miracle of $1,000. Let's look at that Hebrews. Let's just go to chapter 3, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. It was God himself that promised the children of Israel to go to this promised land. But look at what the Bible says. So we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. So, I bless God for every man of God, those that are bigger than me. I think I'm the smallest out of all the men of God. I think so. So, all the people that are bigger than me, I thank God for their life. No matter what they say, what they tell you, that what they say, if your faith does not cling to it, you can't get anything. You can't get anything. Because faith is the only way you can withdraw. Can anybody go to the ATM machine without the ATM card? You can stay here till Jesus comes. You don't get anything. In fact, after people will come and say, hello, are you okay? Can you just... I pray that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. That will not be my portion in the name of Jesus. So, what is Papa syndrome? Because God has done a lot of things already in this period, but he's still doing things. Papa syndrome simply means paralysis by analysis. That's what it means. Papa means paralysis by analysis. Sometimes you hear some word and you'll be like, no, with this my situation, no, this is not possible. And you begin to compare your situation with the bigness, with the awesomeness of God. That is what is called paralysis by analysis. Such person can never get anything from God. You know, what you are simply saying is that your situation is bigger than God. And that will definitely set unbelief into your heart. That will set unbelief into your heart. Hallelujah. So, when you begin to compare yourself, I've always told us this here. When you begin to compare yourself with another person, with what is going on in the life of other people, it will be difficult for God to bless you. It will be difficult for God to reach out to you because you are unique. Every time they will say, you are unique. You are unique. God has a plan for you. A unique plan for you. That's why nobody is as dark as you are. That's why nobody is as fair as you are. That's why nobody is as short as you are. That's why nobody is as... You have something unique, different from every other person walking on the surface of this earth. There is something unique about you. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is something. Say something. There's something unique about me. Say it to yourself. So if you compare yourself with other persons, it will be difficult for God to work on you. Because you will start analyzing what is going on in their life. How things work for them. Some people are, they are at the point of, they don't look at some people. You heard the testimony that I shared by the grace of God. That may not be your path. That may not be your own. So when you need to seek counsel, seek counsel. I had a word that I was holding on, that I was following, that irrespective. Just like when I came at first to Canada, because I came as a visitor. And then at the time, you cannot apply for work permit as a visitor because I have no family, nobody here. I just heard the voice of God and I decided to come. And thank God also because I've always done my records well. Because if you are overstaying your place, your stay in places, then it will become difficult for you to be able to go into other countries. Because they will look at you and see, no, this person, if we give him, he will not go back or she will not go back. So I came at that time. It was getting late. When I heard God again, he told me, if you step out, you're on your own. I said, yes, sir. But it was tough for me. But I had to wait on him. And I was not comparing myself with other people. So don't compare yourself with other people. Don't compare yourself. And the next thing I want to talk about is this. When God speaks to you, one of the signs sometimes that will make you to know that this is God, there will surely be entrances. There will surely be stumbling blocks. There will surely be obstacles. Like I said, if someone needed $1,000 here, I'll just tell everybody, can we just contribute? Nobody should need $1,000. I'm just saying it now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one thing for you to know that this is God, there will always be obstacles. Because you see the enemy, the devil, our enemy, is targeting us. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that the thief, he has come to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. What do you think the thief is running after? It's us Christians. He doesn't have any issue with those that are out of Christ. He doesn't have business with them. He doesn't. 1 Peter 3, chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be vigilant, be sober, for your adversary, the devil, is praying about seeking who he may devour. Seeking who he may devour. So, the devil sees all the opportunities coming. The devil is not physical. Has anybody seen the devil here? The devil is a spirit being. So, he sees things in the spiritual. And what he does is to mount roadblocks. So, if you are here, you are always looking more at your roadblocks. There is this syndrome is disturbing you. Paralysis by analysis. Because your analysis will only bring paralysis to you. And then you become dejected and, it's finished. There's nothing I can do again. And that was the case of the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13. They said, the people that are there, they are what? They are bigger. They are stronger. There's no, in fact, they said, if we go into that place, they will devour us. They will devour. So, I want to challenge somebody here this morning. It doesn't matter what big circumstance that is in front of you, or whatever big situation that is ahead of you, in line of what you are running after, especially when you have heard God, those things are surmountable. They are surmountable. And at the end of the day, it becomes your story. You know that maybe there is someone here that God wants you to tell your story to the world. But if your story is just, I went there and I just did this, it will not make sense to anybody. It will make sense. But if you have this to say, if you have this to say, now, not by cornering, not by going through the wrong ground, or so, because there are also people they will go through the wrong route and they still come to church and say, the Lord did it. If God were to be man, he would have the cutters of his hands as you are eating that. The Lord did it when you know what you have done by yourself. That's not the point this morning. That's not the point this morning. Praise the Lord. So when you allow paralysis because of the analysis into your life, these are the things that happen to you. And I'm quickly going over that this morning as I begin to round up. Like I've said, this period is not a time for long sermon or long preachings. I just want to encourage us, just to challenge us, so that we can still key in into what God is doing. So when you allow this syndrome in your life, the first thing that sets in is unbelief. The number one thing that sets in is unbelief. Unbelief. When you cannot believe on what God has said, when you cannot rely on what God has said, there is no way that thing can manifest in your life. There is no way. There is no way that thing can manifest. When you cannot hold on to what God has said, when you are looking at other people's situation, whatever is going on in their life, or the challenges you are seeing ahead of you, or because you went for that job offer, they told you they don't like your face or something, and you carry that on your head, unbelief setting, and you can't receive anything from God. You can't receive anything from God. You can check that, same Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The next thing that sets in is crying and devastation. If you allow Papa syndrome, it's crying and devastation. Please put back Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, please. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and what? And cried. And the people wept that night. So when you bring your situation, it's happened, it has happened to me too. It can still happen to me because you see some situation at times and you'd be like, wow, why is my life like this? So the only thing you get from that is crying and weeping and devastation. So they wept. They were like, wow, why is this happening to us? Praise the Lord. The next thing that sets in is you start complaining. That same scripture, Numbers 14, verses 2 to 3. Numbers 14, verses 2 to 3. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died. Imagine, they were even thinking of. Imagine, that's how bad it can get. If we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. The next verse. Why has the Lord, you see, if you are not careful, you start complaining even against God. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by this sword? That they are not going to battle. They're not going to be learned. Because they heard their reports, they started analyzing their situation based on that report. Imagine, they are saying they will die by sword. They are praying to God that our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return? May you not return to Egypt in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you not return to a better yesterday in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May you not return to sickness.
Amen.
May you not return to lack in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everything that God has done in your life, may God perfect them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you not return to joblessness.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that's the next thing that sets in, complaining. And from that point, you know what God will do? God will just move away from that person. There's this comic, I watched some of these comic reviews on this Nigeria that they post. Don't pretend as if you don't watch them. I watch them. There's this small boy, they call him a Kiriku. That's what they call the boy. When they have pissed him off, you know what he said? He just said, I better shift. Some people get to that point with God. God will just say, I better shift. Because when you start to complain against God, God will just tell you to shift. You will move to another person. And that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. The next thing, after you have started to complain, you start looking for alternatives. That's the next thing. The same scripture, verse 4. You start looking for what? Alternatives. Let's look at what verse 4 says. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now they are tired of God. They are not only tired of God, they are tired of Moses. They are tired of their leaders. They are tired of the promise that God gave to them. So now they are thinking of alternative. So don't answer that to your friend that is telling you don't go to church again. Don't answer that to your friend that is telling you that, oh, there's one man. If he does do like this for you, then he will tell you what's going on in your life. No. Don't go to those prophets and leaders. Do you know that there are some churches? All they do all through the services, they are big prophecies. No word of God, no preaching, no Bible, no open to this. They are just all dramas that they are acting. Don't fall for it. Wait on the promises of God. Wait on the promises of God. Don't look anything they will say, don't look for any other alternative. God is enough. Because when you are looking for alternative, at this point, God himself will reject the person. Because that person is simply saying that rejected God. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11 of this scripture. Numbers 14, 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people, this was God speaking, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? All the signs which I have performed among them. You know what I used to encourage myself sometimes? I remember the good things, the big miracles that God has done in my life. That is always the things open me. Those are the things that always keep me. I look at those victories that God has given to me. I remember a time that we're supposed to fly a plane, and we all knew that the engine of that plane was not good. I was flying from Istanbul to Cyprus. We all knew I was the only man of color. But every other person, they kept quiet. Okay, I kept quiet too. I said, Lord, it is well with my soul. But we flew, we landed. The same plane had a lot of turbulence because of it. But we flew, we landed, safe and sound. When I remember how God brought me out of accident, car accident, serious one, everybody came, they thought we were all dead. But God brought us out. Nothing happened to any of us. When I remember all those miracles, I've shared with us before. Some prophet, all those that they said, you cannot have children. I have two boys. When I think of all the miracles that God has done in my life, whatever is happening at the moment, it just for God to embellish my story. So whatever you are going through is just for God to embellish your story. Come on, tell somebody, say, wait for me, wait for me. Hallelujah. Because God is on your case. God is on your business. Today is 26th of June. If somebody, one of those testimonies, I'm not going to share like I said, but I just want to encourage someone. For 14 years, somebody waited for something and God does it just like that. Just like that. There is nothing impossible for God to do. I've always said it here. If God asked me and said, there will be fire in the sky tomorrow, I will announce it because I know that God will do it. That's why he's saying it. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Now, faith, most times, is not the absence of fear. And it's not the absence of faith, of doubt. I'll say that again. Faith is not the absence of fear, and it's not also the absence of doubt. But you are saying, regardless of my fears, I hold on to God. Regardless of the doubts, I hold on to God. Regardless of what my situation is, I hold on to God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this morning, whatever in that situation, is it job? Is it health? Are you trusting God for your spouse? For child? For children? The project you have, the idea that God has dropped in your mind, and you are thinking, how is it going to happen? Whatever is that situation, it's okay for you to have doubts. I have doubts. It's okay for you to
to have fears. I have fears. It's okay. But irrespective, keep holding on to God. Irrespective. Don't allow your analysis to allow unbelief in your heart. Don't allow your analysis to get you to the point of complaint against God. Don't allow your analysis to get you to that point of devastation, of looking for other alternatives. Don't allow that this morning. Shall we rise on our feet? God has said that He's restoring. What He told me, and from the very beginning I told everybody, He said, tell them, tell everybody, I am restoring everybody. And oh, the testimonies, they've been wow. They've been wow since the beginning of it. They've been wow. This is the last Sunday in June. Do you know that a Sunday is too much for God? A day is too much for God.
Yes.
Also, it still happens until Thursday. I want you by yourself go ahead and pray to God. Whatever way, you know what you're still trusting God for. And there is room for more. Even if you think God has done, I'm still asking God for more. So please go ahead this morning and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, go ahead this morning and begin to pray to God. Lift up your voice to Him this morning. There is room for more. Even if you have received something already, there is room for more. Whatever God has done for you, God can still do more. Go ahead this morning. There is room for more. Speak to God this morning. You have just this 1 minute. Speak to God this morning. There is nothing impossible for God to do. There is nothing God cannot do. There is nothing impossible for Him to do. So go ahead this morning and begin to talk to Him this morning. Go ahead this morning and begin to talk to Him. Go ahead this morning and begin to talk to Him. He can still heal that sickness. He can still heal that disease. You can go back to the hospital and the results will change again. There is nothing. You can still get that job. There is nothing God cannot do. So speak to Him this morning. Speak to God this morning. If He says it, that is what He's going to do. He's not thinking, He's not just thinking about it. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man that He should repent of whatever He has said. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man that He should repent of whatever He has said. So God can still reach out to you. His hand is not short to reach out to you. It can still reach out to you. It can still reach out to you. We'll now sing this song, and that will be the end of the message. And then, let's take 5-7 minutes. We should be out of here. Let's sing that song, please. Sing that song, you know, you're happy.
You were kind. You were born at ease, lost for words, trying to describe you. Elohim, Elion, Alishin, and we. Your greatness is all I see.
There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain you can't.
If you have said it, then you will do it.
You are the child of Jesus. You're not about to suffer now. Oh, Lord, I die,
you are mighty.
Oh, Lord, I die,
you are mighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll sing this one more song. Because that will be your testimony very soon. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See what the Lord
has done.
See what the Lord has done.
Lord.
He brought the Lord.